When people reject God, reject Christ, reject Him as Creator, reject the gospel, what they are doing in the hardness of their heart, they are exchanging the glory of God for idolatry. The hardness of human hearts sees the glory of God, hates it, despises it, exchanges it, and replaces it with the pursuit of idolatry for images that will just rot in hell.
Hey, Live in the Light listeners, great to be back with you today. Shannon here, I am your host, and I'm in the studio now with our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. Hey, Robbie, we are tackling a big one in our series today, First Things First. It's fruit. A true disciple made in Christ is not just saved and then sits there until heaven. A true disciple saved by grace through faith then begins a lifetime of bearing fruit for Christ. So safe to say that fruit is a huge deal in the life of a Christ follower.
Huge deal, Shannon, indeed. Yes, Gospel of John, chapter 15, one of the most important chapters, arguably, in the New Testament. Jesus is setting up the entire paradigm of vine and branches, and yes, you said it, fruitfulness. And he even goes as far to say, you must prove to be my disciples by bearing much fruit, which is our very text today as well. So a very integral passage. I love, Shannon, I love the clarity of Jesus. I love the clarity of God's word. He just tells us, he's like, this is how it must be. And so we need that in our lives. We need to hear again, hey, if you're legit in Christ, you must bear fruit. It doesn't mean every day is perfect. It doesn't mean every day is going to be easy, but it means as the trajectory goes, we will grow and we will bear fruit for Christ. So I hope, Live in the Light listeners, you are listening with attentiveness and even joy today, and that the Lord Himself will speak to you in your life where you are and spur you on to good works and fruitfulness in Him.
Amen. So let's dig in here more to John 15 and learn what it means to bear unrelenting fruit.
You may be seated, and as you do, please find a Bible and turn to John 15. What a beautiful worship set, musical worship set that was together. I'm so, so thankful to be in church today. All right, as I said, John chapter 15, we have 2 weeks remaining. Well, we'll see how that all goes, but we at least have this day today in our series, First Things First. And this series is so foundational for our church, so it's so important to keep reminding us as to where we've been and, again, where we're going today. So just to recap our series, this should be, again, review for you. Week number one, all the way back early September, unequivocal authority. We learned about the absolute inspiration, sufficiency of God's word. And then week two, unapologetic proclamation. These are the very foundations of our church here at Hope. This is what, again, we start with and move forward with. This is what God guarantees to bless. Week three, unashamed adoration. I pray all of us just experience that in the form of music, but adoration from our hearts to our God who is awesome and holy and so good. That is essential in the heart of every true believer, is a heart of worship and sensing the presence of God in our lives. Week number four, unceasing prayer. This is a resolve to firmly believe in the power of prayer. And we exercise that in so many ways in our church. This Wednesday, our prayer meeting, coming together as we've done already here today, before and during and after the service, praying to our God, the only one who is able to do the things that we desire to see happen. Unafraid witness. Wonderful message, Pastor Earl, last weekend, 2 Corinthians 5. Love that passage. Love that message he gave. A spirit-filled boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how if all these things happen, like the word and worship and prayer, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit never tells us to say, shh, don't talk about Jesus. The Holy Spirit never does that. The Holy Spirit wants us to speak life about the gospel and to take advantage of the opportunities around us. And so this is the boldness that he gives, that we are called again to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then today, this is a message on discipleship. And sticking with our alliteration, we are going to be calling this unrelenting fruit. And here's the thesis right here for all of us here right now. Every genuine Christ follower, every genuine, born again, legitimately saved, alive in Jesus Christ, Christ follower must, will evidence life transformation. Non-negotiable, no exceptions. This is the reality of everyone who's alive in Jesus Christ. There will be unrelenting fruit that is coming from each of our lives. So the passion of our church, again, from the very beginning, has kind of been summarized in this tagline we've said for so many years, lives change for the glory of God. Lives change for the glory of God. When I was a young man and the Lord changed my life and the call to ministry became very clear, you've heard this before, I tried to fight against it, but once I learned that God tends to win or always wins, and then here I am in ministry. But I remember as ministry began and having no idea, my wife and I were sitting in our, you know, basement apartment. We had nothing. We're living below the poverty line. We didn't know what was going to happen. And we're both full-time students with a sense of a bit of ministry and looking ahead and saying, Lord, if we're going to do this, then let's see lives change for your glory. Would you grant that, oh God? And if we are going to surrender to your call, then let's see lives change because that is the greatest need in our world today. It's not more worldly stuff. It's not more personal accomplishments. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so may we see lives change for the glory of God. That has been our prayer from the beginning, and I pray that it does not stop. I pray it continues to be, because what else do we need than to see lives transform for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? And think about it, this is at the very heart of the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples of Jesus Christ. Lives change for the glory of the Lord. And think about it, a true disciple is not saved and then just sits there. That never happens. A true disciple in Christ does not get saved and sit there and just kind of rest on fire insurance. That's not a genuine disciple. A genuine disciple is saved and is instantly placed on the pathway for an explosion of fruitfulness from their lives until they get to glory. When someone is saved by grace through faith, what theologically must happen and does happen, and by necessity through our lives, fruit comes from genuine salvation. So our passion here at Hope, which is 100% backed by Scripture, again, every genuine Christ follower will bear fruit. And I want to strengthen that one more word again. Every genuine Christ follower must bear fruit and much fruit, as we'll see today, for Jesus Christ. Why? It's both a theological necessity and a theological reality. So that is why, again, here at Hope Bible Church, we cannot stand apathy. We cannot stand complacency. I hate it in my heart and life because we have one life. Jesus Christ gave us his life. He died for us, and we are called for so much more. So here at this church, if there's things that guides us and principles, and this is why this church is uncomfortable for some, because they want it easy. They want to coast. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want the truth in their faith, and they don't want to be challenged to change more like Jesus Christ, as Jesus so clearly says. And if that's you, this is going to be a hard place to sit. However, if you agree with Christ in Scripture and you understand Christ has saved you and you know that the greatest purpose of your life is glory for Jesus Christ, by the fruit that you bear, you will fit in just fine. And I pray you will be used also to encourage others in the same, because it's unavoidable based on Scripture. Speaking of Scripture, John 15, the massive clarity and encouragement of the words of Jesus. Let's look at verse 5. We will concentrate on verse 8. Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Look at the clarity, church. Look at the clarity of Christ. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Verse 7, But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Love this verse. And it will be done for you. And then the heart of our message today, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified. What is it, Jesus? How is your Father glorified? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That you bear much fruit, listen, and so prove to be my disciples. By this my Father is glorified, Jesus says, with absolute clarity, that you bear much fruit. And notice here, and so prove to be my disciples. Fruit is the emphasis in verse 8. And church, fruit is the emphasis of the Christian life. Fruit is the emphasis of the Christian life. So let's get started from this passage, and particularly verse 8. Point number one, we must bear much fruit. If we are genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, we must bear much fruit. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now, John 15, one of the most important chapters in the New Testament, just awesome, just loaded. Every sermon, every verse could be a sermon. Our context here, as you should be aware, is that a branch that genuinely abides in the vine will be, okay, guaranteed, will be a branch of much fruit. Now notice here, no exceptions in John 15, 5 to 8, no exceptions. Every branch that is genuinely attached to, remaining in, getting life by, abiding in, that branch, without exception, will be a branch that bears the fruit of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what Jesus is referring to here is the mind-blowing supernatural union, listen carefully, between him and his disciples. When Jesus starts mentioning grapevines, the vine, the branches, the disciples are instantly intimately aware of the grapevines that surrounded them so regularly within ancient Israel. They fully would understand the language that Jesus is using as to the intimate relationship of a branch that is attached to the vine. They would completely understand what Jesus is saying. The disciples knew that the branch, its life, its strength, and its fruit is entirely dependent on the vine. The branch that is disconnected from the vine will die. The branch that is connected to the vine draws its life, its strength, its sap, its vitality, its fruitfulness entirely by the vine. The branch has no chance apart from being attached to the vine. Therefore, any branch that is connected to, abiding in, drawing life from the vine who is Jesus Christ, it is guaranteed that this will be a branch that bears much fruit. Notice, church, Jesus Christ never lays an egg, so to speak. Jesus Christ, he never delivers a dud. Every single time he regenerates someone by his Holy Spirit and they are born again by the gospel of Jesus Christ, every single time he bears fruit through that life. And there are no exceptions to that either. Jesus Christ never ever misses the mark. Every person genuinely saved will bear fruit from their lives for him. Every single time. And notice here, Jesus doesn't want just a little fruit from our lives. Notice twice in our text, that you may bear much fruit. You see, we're the ones who are so content with so little so often. we're the ones who settle for apathy, who settle for mediocrity. We're the ones who settle for lukewarm living. We're the ones who settle for God being one compartment of many others in our lives. We're the ones who settle for so little. I'm the one who settles for so little. It's never Christ. He died for us. He rose from the dead for us. He paid for our sins. He suffered the very wrath of God for us, not so we'll sit around and coast into heaven. He gave his very life that we would see much fruit coming from our lives, that we would love him, that we would pray to him, depend on him, and be used for him. Jesus Christ, his purpose for our lives is not a little fruit. It's much fruit. I was studying this week, and I thought about the parable of the soils and the seed that falls on the good soil. It produces 30, 60, 100-fold, Jesus says. There's a harvest of righteousness and fruitfulness that comes from those who are genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much he wants to do. And loved ones, this fruitfulness is the purpose of our salvation. Ephesians 2 on the screen for you here. I want you to notice this. This is super, super important and very encouraging. Notice, for by grace you've been saved through faith. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith in the life of Jesus Christ. And just in case you weren't clear on that, look at how clear Scripture is. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, salvation, not a result of works. Is that clear to everyone? Is that clear to everyone? Not a result of works. Why? So that we don't get the credit, so that no one may boast. So notice, we are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by works. But notice this, works are important. Why? Works are not the root of salvation. Works are the fruit of salvation. And so here, for we are his workmanship. We are the masterpiece of God. All of us alive in Jesus Christ by grace through faith. We are his workmanship. Listen, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Wow. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, so we are not saved by works, but we are saved for works, fruitfulness. If you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you have to start to try to wrestle down in your mind right now. If you've been genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been prepared beforehand, before the foundations of the world. You have been chosen, you have been adopted, you have been saved, you have been justified, and you are being sanctified for the very purpose that you are God's workmanship. You have been created for good works to bring glory to his life. We must bear much fruit. There are no exceptions to this for those, again, who are genuinely alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must bear much fruit. Secondly, what do we learn about fruit today? Fruit brings glory to the Father. Look at verse 8 again. Look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So there is no greater purpose our life can have than our lives being used to bring glory to the Father. And right here, Jesus tells us this, right? Jesus says, I just love to stare sometimes at small portions of Scripture and just try to wring out as much as possible of what's there. Jesus says so clearly, fruit from our lives brings glory to the Father. At its core, what is this fruit from our lives? Again, think about that. What is the greatest fruit? At its core, how do we define fruit in our lives? At its core, it is an increasing likeness to Jesus Christ. The more we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the more fruit that comes from our life, the more glory that the Father receives from us as we love and change into his Son. The more we look like Christ, the more fruit from our lives, the more glory the Father gets from our lives. Again, I sat on this week, and the Lord helped me. I was listening to a podcast and just heard a couple of phrases just trigger my mind in certain things. And I haven't thought about it in this way before. Just if you think about the study of glory for a little bit, If you think of Romans chapter 3 here, like if we think of glory, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And you're thinking the relationship of fruit to glory. Well, notice this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isn't it? So sin is anti-glory. Sin doesn't bring glory to God. Sin separates us from God. Sin is anti-glory in our lives. Romans chapter 1. This powerful, powerful chapter, when people reject God, reject Christ, reject him as creator, reject the gospel, what they are doing in the hardness of their heart, they are exchanging the glory of God for idolatry. The hardness of human hearts sees the glory of God, hates it, despises it, exchanges it, and replaces it with the pursuit of idolatry for images that will just rot in hell. The relationship of glory and fruit. Then I thought, positively now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at this. The relationship of fruit and glory. So we all, with unveiled face, those of us who can see the gospel and alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation in Christ allows us for the first time to behold, to see the glory of the Lord. Salvation, we see his glory. We worship him with our love and life. We recognize him as Savior and Lord. There's no one like him. Salvation allows us for the first time for the veil to be lifted and to recognize that all true glory is found in the Lord God Almighty. But notice what happens. Salvation, we see the glory, but from salvation leads to sanctification, which is growth in Christ. You're transformed to Christ. And sanctification, this is so awesome, actually causes us by the fruit of our lives to be transformed into glory. I mean, come on now. That is incredibly awesome. Sin, anti-glory, salvation, we behold the glory, and sanctification, we actually begin to be transformed into the glory of Jesus Christ by the fruit that comes from our life and likeness to him. I mean, somebody say amen to that. I mean, that is just so profound and so beautiful. Do you think fruit matters in your life as a genuine follower of Jesus Christ? The very fruit in our likeness to Christ results in us being transformed from one degree of glory to another. It blows my mind, and this is how the Father is glorified. I just want you to stop and pause right now. Maybe this is a good time. A lot of theology we just laid down here. And I want you to take inventory of your life as I do mine. Fruit brings glory to the Father, fruit and likeness to Jesus Christ. In your life right now, only fruit produced by Christ brings glory. Only fruit for Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ produces glory. What is happening in your life right now? Take an inventory of your life right now. What fruit are you and I seeing from our life right now? I hate to break this to you. Actually, I love to break this to you, but your car in the parking lot is not bringing glory to Christ. It is not. Some of you are like, darn right, man, my car's a piece of junk. There's no glory in that at all. Good, good, good. That's a probably healthy place. Some of you, though, would not say that. Some of you would live in such a way where you really are acting like there's glory in that piece of metal or whatever it is out there. That does not bring glory to Jesus Christ. Listen, our personal achievements or accomplishments do not bring glory to Jesus Christ. Anything that we do, that we take credit for, does not result in God's glory. I think of when Isaiah says, God does not share his glory with another. He does not share his glory. All glory belongs to him and him alone. I think of all the human achievements over the course of history that ended up as zeros in eternity, zeros. People spending their entire lives and every affection they have and every ounce of energy resulting in a glory of zero. Nothing. Nothing lasts. Our worldly wealth, success, intellect, or trophies, when it's rooted in us, they do not bring glory to Christ. Look at verse 6 now. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Well, that's kind of sobering, isn't it? Look at that. The life, the achievements, the person that is not rooted in Christ, in the end, is gathered for fire. They have failed to abide in the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, where all true vitality and sap and salvation is found. And if that person continues to cease to abide in Jesus Christ and not believe in him and live for him, then in the end, they are gathered as branches for the fire to be burned. So this is an important moment, loved ones. Do you hear that? Wait, I hear something. Oh, it's the phone is ringing, and the phone is for you. And many of you have already said it. If you've been here a little bit of time, wisdom is calling for you right now. It's wisdom. And wisdom wants to speak to you today. And wisdom says to us, and just say, wisdom says, are you listening to what's being said? Because this is really, really important. This is a life-changing moment. If you live for your personal stuff, you will have no fruit. But if you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you remain in him, and you draw from him, then that is the fruit that leads to everlasting life. And that is what the fruit that leads to glory of the Father. Wisdom calls right now, and wisdom says, are you picking up what the Holy Spirit is putting down? Because this could change your life. Or will you and I fail to hear and not have any change within our lives? Only fruit for Jesus Christ will last. I always love the poem by C.T. Studd. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's a great poem. I really encourage you. You can look it up in full detail. It's beautiful verses and stuff, and the time to read it right now. But only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only fruit for Jesus Christ will carry on for eternity. Hey, so one of the pastors of the church, been able to be pastor here since the church began, and we're family. And I just want to share with you a bit of my family in the last couple of days. My dad has been part of this church. Woo! Okay, my dad has been part of this church for this very beginning. My mom as well. They were so faithful and so supportive all the way along. A couple weeks ago, my dad was in the hospital with a serious blood infection. And long story short, multiple illnesses he experienced, and he was brought to a place where it's very complicated, and he had eventually had to succumb to those illnesses. Yesterday morning, my dad passed away and went into glory.
Well, a convicting message today from God's Word, to say the least. We're so thankful that you have tuned us in today, and we believe that there are no accidents in God's plan. We believe that God had an appointment with you to sit and to listen to that message and even to be challenged and caused to grow through God's Word today. So if that's you and you're saying, yes, I need to make some changes, I need to make some commitments to God that I've never made before, I need to even for the first time follow the Lord Jesus, I believe he is who he said he is, then it's time for us to reach out to him. And we'd love to hear from you if that's the case. Please make sure you dial us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. We'd love to talk to you more. Or you can connect with us through our website at liveinthelight.ca. Again, we'd love to hear from you. That's all today. Again, from Live in the Light, we hope you tune us in again tomorrow. God bless.
Go, go, go.